You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome, everyone. Welcome to The Rabbit Hole Podcast. I'm your host, Eric Ramos. Welcome to Episode 3. We have a lot to unpack today. We're going to cover the attempted assassination of he's not the president yet, but possible president to be Donald Trump. And there's a new cryptid on the scene. We're going to cover that as well. So stay tuned. We have a lot to unpack today. So let's jump right in. I had a guest scheduled for today. Unfortunately, she could not make it, but she will be back here. She will be back here next weekend for you guys. So stay tuned for that. A lot of interesting experiences she had. And so let's jump right into it. So as you all know, there was an assassination attempt on Donald Trump. And fortunately, you know, he survived. They say the bullet pierced his upper ear, and he was released from a local medical hospital shortly thereafter, and he survived. So thank God for that. Unfortunately, there was someone who was unalived in that whole fiasco that unfolded there. Former fire chief Corey Comperture, rest in peace to him and his family. My prayers and condolences out to them all. And he was shielding his wife and his daughters from gunfire. And so that's what happened. And there was two other civilians that were injured. And so that's unfortunate. And the shooter, they were able to find out some more info about him as well, courtesy of Fox News and Associated Press. His name is Thomas Matthew Crooks, 20-year-old from Bethel Park, Pennsylvania. And there was someone they interviewed as well. I don't know how true it is, but if we take it at face value, this person said that they went to school with him and that they said he was bullied a lot. And they said he was bullied, you know, for his clothing. So let's unpack that. You know, we have time. Let's unpack that. One second. So let's explore that scenario. Let's say that this is the typical loner person, bullied, resentful towards society, nothing else to do. So they, you know, they want to leave their mark on society and then just go out with a bang. Let's say that's what happened here. I don't know for sure. We can't verify it. But let's say that's what happened. Let's explore that scenario. So let's look into the life. And I don't know the person, and I'm sure his family is suffering now. So I'm not going to be judgmental. I'm just going to explore the scenario. So let's say we have this person, Thomas Matthew, and they were bullied. And the person that they interviewed who said they knew him in high school, they said he was bullied because of his clothing and because he was a loner. All right. So let's say we're in high school now. We're all in high school. There's a room of us, we're in high school. And all of us who are in high school now, we have our support group. That support group can consist of, you know, our parents, our siblings, our friends, our immediate family. And because of that support group, we feel validated, right? We feel happy. We feel fulfilled. We feel seen and noticed. And then we see someone, and again, remember, we're in high school in this scenario. And then we see someone, you know, their clothing is weird. You know, they're always wearing a camouflage. You know, and we don't know what the reasons are, right? Let's say they're wearing camouflage. They're always wearing camouflage. And they're always wearing, you know, these, you know, hunting shoes, hiking boots. You know, nothing too stylish. in our high school brain, we don't know the circumstances of their life. For all we know, those are the only clothes they have. What if all their parents do is hunt and hike, and so those are the only clothes they get for them, and any other clothes, they can't afford it. And so now you have this person who they're not wearing the clothing that's hip. They're not wearing the clothing that's in style. And so that subjects them to a person of ridicule from the group. So I want to talk to you kids in high school. Stop being a presumptuous. Stop being judgmental. You don't know what people's life is like at home. Now, if you're in a life, if you have the support where, you know, you're not lacking there, okay, good. I'm happy for you. Amen. So you have nice clothes. You have nice shoes. You have your support group. Your parents are still together. You have a fancy lunchbox. You have, they give you food. You have a nice fancy lunch put together. Or you have money for lunch, whatever the case may be. Be happy. Why spend time trying to ridicule someone who's lacking? I never understood that. So I know. Let's look at if I know that I have abundance, and I'm not lacking, and I'm happy in my life, I don't have time to find someone else who's not happy, who's lacking, and then to take time out of my enjoyment to try to ridicule them and make them feel even worse about the situation that they're already in. Who has time for that? That's for losers. That's for weaklings. It's above me to try to kick someone when they're down. If I see someone struggling, if I have any kind of emotion that goes out toward them, it's going to be empathy, not contempt. I'm not going to look down on them. Why should I look down on them? I'm glad I'm not them. I'm glad, I'm thankful I'm not in that situation. Thank God I'm not in that situation. I'm happy that I have people around me who care about me. I'm not going to add insult to injury and try to make this person feel even worse than they already are. What's the point of that? What is there to gain from that? Now, let's say you have individual X. And individual X feels that they are high on the status ladder, right? So you have individual X, and individual X thinks, oh, well, I'm a high value person. I have a high net worth. I come from good pedigree. I come from a good family. Okay, so what does that say about your character then? Does that mean that you're a good person as well? Does that mean that you have morals as well and ethics? Well, yeah, all right then. So embody that in your behavior instead of going around acting like a douchebag. That douchebaggery is getting old already. It's not helping society. It's not contributing. If you have a good pedigree, you came from a good family, a good background, okay, very well then. How about if you draw from those resources and add something good for humanity? Bring something new to the table to enhance our life. How about if you invent a way to minimize pollution? How about if you come up with a cure for cancer? How about if you come up with a way to lower the crime rate? There's a lot of things you can draw from those resources that you have, that you're proud of, to make society better, to improve society, instead of using those resources to try to target vulnerable members of society, and then try to lower them even more to raise yourself, to make yourself seem even higher on the scale. Man, that's for weaklings. Get that out of here. I thought you were better than that. I thought you had more worth and value. Do something more with all those resources you have. And resources can be tangible or intangible. Resources can be monetary. It can be real estate, or it can be internal. It can be self-confidence. It can be a good family. Those are also resources. Whatever your resources are, if they can be regarded as good and useful, use it for something productive. instead of wasting it trying to put people down who are already struggling in a difficult situation and scenario in their lives. So if that's what happened with this Thomas character, it's just bad all the way around. And so that opens up another thing I want to explore. Here's another scenario. Someone might say, well, if you vote for Trump, you must be a bad person. And whoever votes for Trump, I don't care who you are, whoever votes for him, you can't possibly be a good person and you have to go. Okay, well, so what are you saying? That America, the land of the free, we no longer have the liberty to vote for who we want to vote for? So this is no longer a Republican government. This is no longer a Republican form of government. This is no longer a democracy. This is now a dictatorship where if you don't vote for the popular person, then you need to die. So is that why everyone came to this country? I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought a lot of people came to this country because of our freedoms and our liberties, our freedom of speech, our right to vote. Isn't that why you all came here? Okay, well, if that's why we all came here, then why are people making light of this attack on Trump who vote in a specific manner? Because I don't want to even go into all that. So for people who vote a certain way, they're celebrating that someone tried to assassinate Donald Trump and they're celebrating. Okay, so let me make sure I understand you correctly. So what you guys are saying is that it's okay to take someone out because they have a different political view? So you see what's happening, America? We're falling apart from within. You know, America the Great, you have a lot of people from all over the world, and they want to come to this country because of our opportunities. Okay, good. Now, what creates the atmosphere for all these opportunities, all these monetary opportunities to flourish? Our freedoms, our liberties, the Constitution. So all the people that come here, if you don't support the Constitution and you don't support our rights, all you're doing is you're contributing to the destruction of one of the best governments in the world that facilitate personal growth and wealth. You know, there's a lot of places around the world where if you're not born into a wealthy family, there's no way you will ever acquire wealth. In the U.S., fortunately, there's still a degree of that remaining. In the U.S., you can still be poor, and you can still make a way for yourself. And one of the reasons that that's that way is because of our Constitution and the laws that we have set in place here in this country. So just be aware of that whenever you hear rhetoric about Trump. I'm not his greatest fan either. But that doesn't mean that he should die. I don't go around trying to take people out just because they disagree with me. That's part of the human experience. There will be disagreements. Just think about the family unit. Think about a husband and wife. What if every time the wife didn't agree with the husband, he wanted to take her out? That's no adult, normal, healthy way to deal with disagreements. So that's what I wanted to say about that. I could go deeper, but I don't want to bore you all. this is not a lecture in a university. So I just wanted to express my thoughts there regarding that issue. So let's talk about some of the mishaps of the Secret Service. So it was Fox News, NBC, Associated Press. Some of the info that I got from there, it appears that the the Secret Service dropped the ball on this one. There was people that was telling them, the police, all the security around the perimeter, and they were telling them, hey, you know, there's this guy, he's on the roof with a gun. And they were just dragging their feet. And they were saying that there's a suspicious character. He's crawling on his stomach. And they dropped the ball. They were also saying that they found explosive materials in his car. So, and the guy was only 20 years old. So I don't know if he was acting alone or if he was part of a larger organization. What I do know is if he was not acting alone and he was part of a larger organization, that he's exactly the kind of, if we could look at it from a sales lens, a marketing lens, he's the demographic they would target. What do I mean by demographic? The loner, the outcast. He's who they would target to do something like this. And one second. It's hot, so I'm thirsty. And I apologize, my guest, she had to reschedule. I had a good juicy one for you all today. And like I was saying earlier, I'm going to do I'm going to digress real quick. What I wanted to do initially was cover three topics. The Lakers, you know, because I'm a hardcore Laker fan. Combat sports and the paranormal. And the other fringe topics, of course. But because of limited time, we're just going to focus on one subject at a time when I'm on here. I'll probably start another podcast or find another outlet to talk about my Lakers and combat sports. So just for now, for here on the rabbit hole, we'll talk about the paranormal fringe topics. And of course, no matter what podcasts, whatever their specialty is, everyone's covering the attempted assassination. So I'm sure I'm no stranger in that regard. So again, like I was saying, the Secret Service, law enforcement, they really dropped the ball on this one. Similar to how if you're not familiar with it, you all can research it, look it up when you have time. Similar to how the ball was dropped during the 9/11 issue, the 9/11 incident, when the plane allegedly was crashed into the Pentagon. I saw some footage where it looked like it was a missile, which is now removed from the internet. And of course the Twin Towers, the ball was dropped there as well. And that's another common occurrence that I've witnessed nowadays is incompetence. So clearly there was some incompetence being displayed here on the Secret Service's end, how this guy, this amateur with no military background, as far as we know, he's only 20, so how extensive could his military background be if he did have one, was able to get so close with that fire, AR-15. Is what the media is saying. So how was he able to get so close with that rifle, that size, and get off multiple shots? And of course, yeah, they found him, they killed him. So that raises questions on their competency. And, you know, I'm in the corporate America, being been in the workforce now for a long time. And we're in 2024, and since I'm going to have to say, you know, I think it was right before COVID, a few years before COVID, I noticed this incompetence. So let me be more specific. So the security breakdown that enabled this assassination attempt to take place was the result of incompetence. And this incompetence that we all witnessed on behalf of the Secret Service and whoever else was associated with them to maintain the security there this level of incompetence that was witnessed there. I've been seeing this everywhere right before COVID. And I'm sure some of you can relate. Now, someone might say, well, what do you mean? Okay, how many pissed off customers are there? Are any of you customers? We're all consumers, right? So on to some degree, we're going to be a customer eventually. You can't leave your home and come back without being a customer in some regard for something, right? Whether it's purchasing technology of some sort, getting a car, a house, doing some transaction of some sort, I'm sure you all have encountered some degree of incompetence. And it's annoying because you're not the expert. You're expecting the person who's helping you to be the expert. So you're expecting them to have a certain level of competence present when you're trying to get that transaction done. But when it's not there, then you got to go back 3 or 4 times, make some corrections, go through all these motions to get the original thing done that you wanted when you arrived there the first time. And, well, I don't know about everyone else, but I've been experiencing this a lot since right before COVID. It became more apparent to me. So when I see this happen, I'm like, oh, yeah, someone. And who knows? So it could be, you know, there's a saying in business circles. It goes like this. Never attribute to malice that which could just as easily be attributed to stupidity. So what happened there, the security meltdown with the Secret Service, it could very well have been stupidity with no malicious intent at all whatsoever. And if that's the case, now we know they need more training, especially in that field. They need to step it up there. But if that's not what it is, and if it is malice, and if there is some type of conspiracy going on, then that's a whole nother thing to deal with. And so just wanted to cover that briefly. I just hope that going forward, people don't feel that they have to resort to violence for their voices to be heard. You know, with with technology, YouTube, the internet, Instagram, TikTok, there's a lot of outlets available now to anyone of any means. If you have something that you want to communicate, if you want to feel heard, you don't have to resort to violence to be heard. Because all you're doing when you resort to violence to be heard, all you're doing is giving more fuel to the opposing party to make their argument seem more valid. Case in point, if, you know, there was Democrats or liberals who did not want Trump to win, I don't know now. I mean, did you see how, you know, that there was if you saw the footage, you know, there was blood on his ear. He dived on the ground. He got up. He pumped his fist like, yeah, I'm surviving. I mean, that was gangster. So if anything, I think that the assassination attempt on him raised his rating. And it's probably sealed now. So anyone who's thinking that if someone disagrees with them, the way to win the argument is to take that person's life, that's not the way to go. If someone disagrees with you, find out why they disagree. Their points could be valid. And if their points are valid, why not assimilate them? I mean, but why would a person want to be right? Would they want to be right? Why? For their ego? Or do they want to be right because they think that it's going to improve the quality of their life? I know for me, if I want to be right, I could care less about being right. Now, I want to be right. Think about that. I want to be right, but I could care less about being right. So what does that mean? I want to be right. Well, I want to have the right mindset. I want to have the right information that I'm following. Well, why? Well, because of the information that I have in my mind that I'm using to direct my life, if it's accurate, or if it has a high degree of accuracy, or if it's as close to being correct as what's available, then that increases my chances of having a good quality of life. So that's why I want to be right. But if I'm confronted with information, with conflicting information that conflicts my present position regarding certain matters, I'm not going to force my position. Why? Well, because either I'm correct or I'm not. If I'm correct, the truth doesn't need my assistance. I'm just going to lay it out there, state my case, and if it's the truth, it will prevail, and if it's not, then it will crumble. And if it crumbles, then I want to know why, and then I'll make the modification, and then add the correct information, so that now I have the correct worldview, or the worldview that's as close as approximation to reality as possible, to increase my chances of having a quality life. So, yes, I want to be right, but when I hear conflicting information, it doesn't trigger me. I don't get upset. What's the purpose of that? How are humans going to grow if we're always getting upset whenever we hear conflicting information? Like, what if when the people who were driving cars got upset when they found out that there's airplanes? Or what if when the people who had helicopters got upset when they found out there's another means of transportation? What's the point of getting upset? You can't stop the development of technology. Just embrace it and flow with it. So if I hear some information that conflicts with what I already know, what's the point of being triggered? The thought of being triggered doesn't even enter my mind. I hear the information. Oh, okay, that's something new. I never heard that before. Yeah, that's different than my current position. Okay, well, instead of saying, bullshit, that's not true, that's how idiots respond. But because I have a brain and I choose to use it, when someone disagrees with me, I'm going to ask them, oh, that's interesting. I've never heard that before. Why do you say that? What gives you that idea? What brings you to that conclusion? And then I want to hear what their argument is, or I want to hear the information. And then I'm going to vet the information for accuracy. And if it's accurate, oh, wow, that's interesting. Well, thank you for sharing that with me, brother. Or thank you for sharing that with me, my sister. Thank you. And now I have more information. And now I can do, now I know better. And now I can do better. That's the normal process. But in today's society, you know, that we've been brainwashed. You know, a lot of people, unfortunately, are under mind control. I'm going to do another podcast on this where I'm going to go deeper into it. I'll touch on it briefly now. But unfortunately, a lot of people are under mind control. Now, someone may scoff at that thought, but mull on that for a second. So a lot of people are under mind control. And when I say a lot of people, what do I mean by a lot of people? Am I talking about the world at large? No. I'm just talking about the United States. Why? Well, because I'm in the United States, so I can give a better opinion about people in the United States as opposed to a country somewhere else where I'm not living. I can't give an opinion about people in China because I don't live in China. I can't give an opinion about people in the UK because I don't live in the UK. But because I live in the United States, I can give an opinion about my experiences with people in the United States. And it is my opinion that a lot of people in the United States are under mind control. Now, let me drill down even further from that. I'm going to have to say it varies from state to state. You know, some states people are more independent thinkers. They think for themselves. They're able to draw their own conclusions. They encounter information. They hear information. They take the information in their mind. They reflect on it. And then they draw their own conclusions. And there's some states where that practice is more common than others. Now, I live in California, and in Southern California specifically, a lot of you guys are under mind control. Now, I don't know what the reason is. There could be various reasons. And again, this is the Rabbit Hole podcast. So this is what I do. So there could be various reasons for this. It could be because, you know, they're caught up in the rat race, paying bills, you know, work, sleep, the hustle. So they don't have time to think. So as a result, all this consumption of mainstream media, entertainment, that's what's doing the thinking for them. And over time, by repetition, this can be researched. You know, there's two forms of hypnosis. You can sit with a hypnotist and they hypnotize you. You can also be hypnotized by repetition, where you hear the same thing over and 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 over again. And as a result, it bypasses your conscious mind and it embeds yourself into your subconscious. Some call it the unconscious. And as a result, that's what's driving your behavior now. Our thoughts and belief systems that have infiltrated into your unconscious, your subconscious mind. By repetition, over and over and over and over and over and over and over again. Marketers know this. How many of you can recite a commercial because you heard it so many times? No one forced you to memorize it. No one put a gun to your head and say, hey, memorize this slogan. But it was through repetition that you were able to memorize it because it was forced into your unconscious, into your subconscious mind. So it could be that is why a lot of people in Southern California behave in a manner that brings me to the conclusion that they are under mind control. Now, some might say mind control, that's a little extreme. Okay, have you heard of a cult? I don't mean a cult, O-C-C-U-L-T. We know what a cult means. A cult means hidden. But I'm talking about A as in apple, space, cult, C-U-L-T. You heard of Jim Jones? He had a cult in, it wasn't Belize, I think it was Guyana, one of those countries in Central America, one of the English-speaking countries in Central America, similar to Belize. And his name was Jim Jones, and he had a religious cult there, and he convinced all these people that if they drink some juice, that they're going to go to paradise. That's a good example of a cult. Charles Manson also had a cult. If you're not familiar with Charles Manson, Google him, YouTube him, do a YouTube search on Charles Manson. Interesting information there. So there's a lot of examples of what a cult is. There's another cult. I'm going to do a podcast on this one specifically in the future, shortly, so stay tuned. This guy's name is Robert Shin. There was recently a documentary about him on Netflix, which for a few weeks was the number one viewed documentary. So it was popular. It was trending for a minute. And his name is Robert Shin. The name of his church is Shekinah Church. And he has this thing with these TikTok dancers. I don't know, some type of some corny thing. I don't even know how they mesh together, how you mix TikTok dancing with ministry. But, you know, to each his own. Who am I to judge? But it's also a cult. And there's people who have come out from the cult. There was a documentary on it. And to make it even juicier, back in 1999, I was an assistant pastor at that church. So stay tuned. I'm going to do a deep dive on that in the future. I don't want to go too much into it now for lack of time. We'll go into it again later. But so that's another example of a cult. Now, what is a cult? Well, a cult is where you have a leader, you have your influencer, and then you have the underlings, the people under that leader. And when we hear the things that that leader was telling their followers, you know, Jim Jones, Charles Manson, Robert Shin, we're on the outside looking in. We're not part of the cult. We're on the outside. And we hear those things that they're telling them, and we think to ourselves, how could anyone believe that? Like Robert Shin was telling them, you can't be around your family. You have to die to your family. So he's twisting scripture there. He's saying you have to die to your family. But because they're under mind control, they believe it. So anyone who doubts the phenomenon of mind control, all they have to do is research cults. The fact that cults even exist and there's people in them is a legal term for any attorneys out there, is prima facie evidence that mind control is real. What is prima facie on its face? It's obvious. It's self-explanatory. It doesn't require an argument. So for anyone who feels the impulse in their belly to contradict me when I'm talking about mind control, the fact that cults exist refutes the feeling in your stomach. If mind control wasn't real, then there wouldn't be cults. But since there's cults, there must be mind control, or else how else are they getting them to follow their absurd beliefs? So that's my take on that. What do we got? We got a few minutes left. So I wanted to cover a few more things. We've all heard of the Loch Ness Monster, right? Some people call her Nessie. We heard of the Loch Ness Monster. We all heard of Bigfoot, Yeti, the Jersey Devil. What else they got? The Chupacabra. One second. And this is my third podcast, by the way. This is episode 3. So I'm still learning. This is my third podcast ever. So I'm still learning as time progresses. I'm going to add some more, some more bells and whistles. You know, the little thumbnails, all the little fancy video clips. We're going to add all that stuff as time progresses. I just want to get this part down, giving you some information, content that is interesting. So we got the usual suspects, right? So we got the Loch Ness Monster. We got Bigfoot, the Jersey Devil, the Chupacabra. But friends, you know, there's a new guy on the scene now. And this one is scary. This one is called the Dog Man. And the closest thing to it, if you've seen your werewolf movies, right? You got, what's that? There's an 80s or 90s movie called American Werewolf in London or something like that. That's a good one to kind of get an idea of Dog Man. But then you got the Underworld series, where it's the werewolves versus the vampires. And in that series, they call them the Lycans. And then those movies there kind of give you a good idea of what people who say they've encountered Dogman have witnessed. And when I went down that rabbit hole, there were some people referencing some of the characters from that show or that movie, The Underworld, saying that, yeah, that, well, that, and that one scene that you see when they were this way, the one I saw looked just like that. So if what that person is saying is correct, and when I was listening to it, it did sound believable, then it appears that some of the people in Hollywood are getting legitimate information or legitimate stories from people who have seen these things. And that's what's giving them those ideas or inspirations for those drawings or those costumes. And this Dogman character in Haiti and the New Orleans, Louisiana, they refer to this Dogman creature as the Rougarou. And this is no new, it's nothing new. But it's just new to mainstream. So when I say new, that's what I'm talking about. I'm not saying new to suggest that he just appeared recently. Not by a long shot. When I say new, I'm saying new because it's new to the mainstream consciousness. You know, the mainstream consciousness hasn't really been talking about Dogman the past 10 years. But since COVID, you know, there's a lot of chatter about Dogman. And I went down that rabbit hole. And let me tell you, folks, it is scary. But fortunately, you know, everyone's different. You know, I'm not a religious person. I'm spiritual. And everyone wants to say that now. God darn copycats. I've been saying that since 2008. I may not look it. I'm not going to tell you my age, just in case. But I've been saying that forever. I'm not religious. I'm spiritual. And why have I been saying that forever? Well, I have a few acquaintances that are religious. And they're very dogmatic. I'm not dogmatic. I'm open. I'm open to all data. I don't care what your belief is, where you come from. If you have some new data, I want to examine the data. And I'm going to vet it. I'm going to test it in my life, see if it's useful. If it's useful, I'm going to keep it. I don't care where it came from. I could care less. Whatever is true is true, and whatever is not is not. So I'm not religious. And so that's why I'm open to information about, you know, this Dogman character. So, you know, as a believer, I don't say Christian. How come I don't say Christian? Am I against Christians? No. Am I against the term? No. I don't have time to be against it. I got other things to do with my time. But why don't I say I'm Christian? Well, because in the Bible it says that they were first called Christians in Antioch. So they were called Christians by who? Unbelievers. So it's a label. Why am I going to go by a label that someone who's not part of my order attached to me? I'm under no obligation to follow their terms or their names. So that's why I'm not a big fan of the term Christian. Furthermore, a lot of blood has been shed under the name Christian and Christianity. People getting beheaded, their history burned up. A lot of atrocities have been committed under the name of Christianity and Christian. So that's another reason why I'm not a big fan of that name, of that term. But I am a believer that God sent his son as a sacrifice for my sins and the sins of humanity. And even in occult circles, now I'm saying occult, O-C-C-U-L-T. You all know what I'm talking about. Dark magic, all those sacrifices. Why do they do blood sacrifices? Sacrificing pigeons, roosters. This is no secret. You have to live under a rock to not know that people sacrifice things for their rituals, for blood. to appease the gods or the demons or the spirits or the ancestors or any inorganic being that they want to interact with to garner their assistance. So knowing that, why should it be so far-fetched to fathom that the Most High God required to shed blood to forgive us of all of our trespasses? I don't see how that should be so hard to figure out, unless you are under mind control. If you're under mind control, then you can't understand it. So then never mind, and just forget the conversation and don't even watch this podcast again. Because if you're under mind control, everything I'm saying is just going to go over your head. And we're going to argue and we're going to go back and forth. And I'm going to say, well, water is wet. You're going to say, no, it's actually sugar. I'm like, what? And we're just going to go in circles. So if you're under mind control, just keep it moving. I'm not going to try to convince you. I'm done doing that. I used to try to do it. But all you do is talk over me. And then you change my words around. And then you create all these straw man arguments. And then you latch on to the weakest part of what I said and then make that the main point of your contention. Anybody could do that. But if you were really focused on truth, you would focus on the strongest point of my claim and try to disprove that. So back to my initial point about me being a believer in the term of Christian and Christianity. So, yes, I'm a believer. And I believe that God gave his son, Jesus. There's no J in the Hebrew language. So Jesus is the anglicized version of the Hebrew Aramaic name of Yeshua. It's not complicated. It's not rocket science. Of course. So just wanted to put that out there. Let that be known. We got 3 minutes left. I have a guest back by popular demand. She's going to be back here next Sunday. She has a lot of juicy stuff for you guys, especially people that are interested in the paranormal. A lot of good stuff there. I wanted to go deeper into it with her last time, but I had to, I have to make some adjustments on the podcast. So going forward, we're just going to focus on one thing at a time. When she comes on next week, we're just going to go right in, and I'm going to let her tell you guys some of her experiences and some of the stuff that she was sharing with me is straight out of a science fiction movie. So there's so much out there, people. There's so much to this world that you don't know. There's so much. And if you just leave it up to mainstream academia and the mainstream media to inform your worldview, you are at a great disadvantage, my friend. And so the purpose of this podcast is to help bridge the gap there. And you're not going to throw me off with anything. I don't care what your beliefs are, what you talk about. Let's go. And I know a lot of you out there, you're tired of talking with other believers or Christians, and you say UFO or alien, and they shut down. Trust me. With me, my friend, let's have the conversation. Let's analyze it. Truth has no fear. So, without any further ado, my friends, thank you for joining again for episode 3. I'm still new. I'm still a newbie to this space. Be patient with me. Thank you. Eric Ramos, The Rabbit Hole Podcast. I'll see you next time. Peace out.
You're listening to The Rabbit Hole with Eric Ramos, only on LA Talk Radio.